Hi, passenger. Welcome on board Mileage Airways. Good afternoon. Our flight today will be taking us through mile 33, and our flight time will be roughly 30 minutes, but we might exceed it. So apologies in advance. Today, I have the privilege of being with our wonderful, wonderful captain, Katlem, and I am your co-captain for today, Wana Johnson. I'm going to let our captain introduce himself.
I mean, you already did, but this is Katlem. Welcome aboard, aka Mansa, aka Legend.
Okay.
Aka, I'm the fearless nigga that you heard about.
Come on.
Aka, Aaron.
Ooh.
Aka,
Moses.
Moses. Aka, Paul. Formerly known as Saul.
Can you embody Paul's energy?
But anyway, let us take off.
Cabin crew, prepare for takeoff.
Boom! Yes, so I've taken back the controls of this aircraft. But you did a good job taking off, though.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we are going to be flying through the skies. This is something you forgot to say while taking off.
I'm sorry.
But this is, I'm here to assist. We'll be flying through the skies of unpopular opinions on mileage conversation cards. So, like you know, if you've been listening to the pod, to the miles, you will know that we've been working on some conversation cards.
Mm.
And this particular one is called Unpopular Opinions.
Yeah.
And so this is me talking to the passenger, not to you. This one,
I know, like, no, I know you. Okay, I didn't speak to the passenger. I'm also a passenger. So
oh, you're also a passenger, actually. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, so such a good mix that you're a passenger and a co-pilot.
I know.
But yeah, so we're talking about unpopular opinions.
Before we go into it, I just want to just cut in to just give you your flowers on creating this. Like, just going through the cards, like, you're actually immaculate to me.
Thank you.
I feel like you've put in, like, an amazing amount of work into this. And, yeah, can't wait for other people to get to experience it as well.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I mean, I didn't do it alone, so I can't take the full credit. But
yeah, but you can also take some of the flowers.
Yeah, I can. I can. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for that. So, we will be talking about, what did I say? Unpopular opinions.
Unpopular opinions.
Yes. And so you can basically play these cards with your friends, with your family, on a date night as well, because these are things that you can use to get the
ball rolling.
Yeah, get the ball rolling and also know what your people think about certain issues and certain things. Yes. So, but before we do that, co-pilots, before I ask you this question, I need to give you the backstory.
Okay.
On mileage.
Okay.
We're all about authenticity.
Mm.
I was telling Precious in the last mile that one of the things I'm working on is to never tell a lie again. And I've told you this as well. But what I noticed is that I've never lied on mileage.
Mm.
Like, I've actually never lied. So I know that whenever I turn on this mic,
it's the truth.
The truth has to come out, or I'm not speaking. So maybe one day I'll just turn on the mic and leave it.
I'm not saying anything.
But yeah, so yes, I'm asking you this question. I want you to be very real about your answer.
Hmm.
How are you?
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Oh, right now I'm good. Right now I'm actually feeling good. I'm grateful. I think right now in my life, I don't know if I've told this already, I'm in a place where I'm taking into consideration the fact that I'm in the promise. Like, going back to, like, Exodus. I'm sorry to talk about the Bible, but just going back to Exodus,
why would you be
sorry
to talk about the Bible?
I was saying this to a friend yesterday, that it's so funny how the Israelites, being in the wilderness and complaining, like, all the complaints that they could possibly think of, they failed to see or even recognize the fact that they were actually already in the promise, because they were no longer in slavery. Like, they were no longer in Egypt. And that in itself is, that freedom in itself is part of the promise, even though it had not yet been fulfilled and they had not yet gotten to the promised land. It's like, you came out of slavery, you walked through the Red Sea, like, it was parted. So it's like, promises have already been fulfilled before you get to the promised land. So I just keep, like, reminding myself that I may not be where I want to be, but things are happening to lead me there. And I'm grateful for that.
Do you always feel like that?
No. Yeah. This is now just like a today thing. Like, I just feel good now.
Okay.
I think it's like generally, and I think we've said this to ourselves a lot, like the process to not just healing, but just like life's journey itself is not linear. So you have days that are good, and you have days that are just, dark as hell. And I do have those dark days more often than not. But when I have days like this, I'm grateful, 100% grateful. So yeah.
Thank you for sharing. I'm happy about
How
that.
are you?
I'm great, actually. I'm doing a lot better than I should be doing. I mean, I recorded with Precious yesterday, and she asked me the same question. So my answer between yesterday and today is not so different. But I'm doing a lot better than I should be doing, given the circumstances, which I have spoken about on the previous episodes of Marriage. So yeah, I'm optimistic, man. I feel like God is taking away distractions from me for a reason. I feel like now, like, he's making me stay still. He wants me to literally not move so that he can show me whatever he wants to show me. So yeah, I mean, it's not always easy. There are times where I'm just like, fuck this. Even Jesus said, Lord,
If the cup can the
can
cup be
this cup
taken
be
away?
taken away from me? And he knew, like, he was going to die, he knew he was going to resurrect, and he knew he was going to be glorified. But in the moment, he was just
It
like,
was heavy.
guy,
It was
Father,
heavy.
please. So I think I'm at my Father, please moment now. But I know that, the resurrection is going to come.
What's one like good thing that you've learned, or one like revelation you've gotten just in this being still?
Authenticity, man, just like, I need to be a person of integrity, because that automatically makes my words have weight and carry meaning.
This is going back to the thing of you not wanting to lie.
Yes, this is one thing I've really taken from this period, because I declare a lot. I say a lot of things like, oh, I'm this, I'll be
By the way,
this.
guys, I call Katlam a prophet because that's really what he is.
By
Like,
the grace of God.
if Katlam declares a thing,
Ah,
you just realize,
electricity. Happy
if
birthday.
Katlam declares a thing, it comes to pass. And yeah,
Yeah,
that's a supreme
so that's
gift.
the thing. Like, if I'm someone who's full of lies, if I declare something, it cannot come to pass. But I want to get to the point where if I say something, it must happen. Not like I'm God, but I'm tapping into God. Do you understand? Like, God is
100%.
like my is the one backing me here. But anyway, let's not go to this one is another episode on another episode on its own.
own.
Yes, so well, now we're here to talk about very interesting topics.
Opinions.
Opinions, yes, literally unpopular opinions. So I'm going to start with the first one. Are you ready?
Ready. Let's
On a
go.
scale of 1 to 100, how ready are you?
101.
Ah, that's what she said. Anyway, the first question is checking. No, sorry, it's not a question. The first unpopular
Opinion.
opinion. So basically, what it is we say the unpopular opinion, and
We're
then we
both
say
gonna,
our perspectives of
on
the
it.
unpopular opinion. So this is number one. Checking each other's texts is bad.
So I think the first thing I'm going to ask here is, so who are you checking? Is he
No,
checking
your
as a
partner.
friend
No, I'm
or as
talking
a
about your partner.
partner? So my opinion in this is that I don't really know, or I don't really believe that my partner is entitled to know everything that happens in my friends' lives. People believe that, like, oh, if you tell me something, I'm going to tell my partner, right? I don't necessarily feel like that should be the case, because on the flip side of it, if I'm confiding in you about something, I would like for that thing to be between us and not like a third party. Because if I wanted it to be, with a third party, then I would confide in both of you. So when it comes to this, I think, yeah, there can be certain, like, it depends. Like, there can be like a certain level of, transparency with like text messages, even in talking about it, or like certain things that don't necessarily reveal, deep secrets. But when it comes to like text messages with friends that are sharing deep things with you, I just feel like, yeah, no.
Yeah, but in terms of, obviously, like, people check their partners' phones to check if they're they are going outside.
No, see, if you have to do that, leave. That's my opinion. If you actually get to the point where you're checking your partner's phone because you suspect that they are, just walk out, just carry your bag and leave. I don't even subscribe to that at all. If it gets to that point, then you will find what you're looking for. I can assure you. So don't bother picking up the phone. You're right. You feel what you're feeling is true. Go. Let's just end it there. So that's my personal perspective on that.
So you won't do it?
I wouldn't do it. Okay. I've never checked my partner's phone, and it's not something I would ever do. If I ever get to the point where I feel like I need to, I would most likely, obviously, because leaving sounds easier. It's easier said than done. But I'd most likely like have a conversation about how I was feeling. And if I still feel that way after the conversation, I probably just bounce with the strength of the Lord. So yeah.
Fair enough.
How about you?
So for me, NTNU. Yeah, so I am not a subscriber to that opinion.
Yeah.
And mine is from experience because I've done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated myself for doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like I didn't think it was something I would ever do.
Yeah.
But then I got so, like, it just got to the point where I was like, bro, I need to do this. And yeah, it wasn't the greatest of experiences. But yeah, I'm not a subscriber to it. However, if I'm in a relationship with someone,
mm-hmm.
I should have access to your phone.
No, 100%.
But I would not access it.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
I agree. Like,
I need to have the... you would also have access to mine.
Yeah.
Do you get?
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I have the idea that there's a possibility that my partner can check my phone because she has access,
there
are some things that I would naturally not want to do. Do you get?
Yeah.
But if I know that no matter what, this baby is not going to check my phone, I can move mad. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Also, if I feel like if I give off that vibe that I will never check your phone, you have the tendency to do that. So it's a weird thing because now I won't do it again,
mm-hmm.
but I would need to know that I have access to it.
Yeah, I don't think having access to your partner's phone, like, ordinarily, when I think about that, to me, it doesn't come off as, okay, I'm having access to check your texts.
Yes.
Is that I'm having access to do a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
Right? You know, if we're that transparent with each other that we sort of have like a shared bank account, for example.
Yeah.
So like, you know, making bank transfers, things like that, not necessarily checking texts. Yeah, so the access definitely. In itself is just like,
yeah, it's just the access. Yeah, yeah. It's just like, oh yeah, well, this you can do this, but don't do it.
Yes.
Do you understand? Yeah. So 100%. Yeah, I don't agree with that. So we have the same opinion.
Fair enough.
Fist bump. Yeah. So the next one, monogamy is abnormal.
I want you to lead this conversation, right? Because I would like to know what your perspective is on this.
Okay. I don't think monogamy is normal.
Why?
But here's the thing. I feel like we are wired to always look outside, especially men. I know that women also can look outside.
Yeah, right? But that's not often the case.
Yeah, it's not often the case. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying, like, especially men. This is what, so when men say, oh, men are wired to cheat, it's not exactly the case, but they have a point, right? So I feel like we are wired to want to look outside. So I feel like monogamy is actually abnormal. But I do believe in monogamy. Why? Because it is the best way you can show love to anyone is sacrifice.
Yeah.
Literally, in the story of Abraham, God was like, guy, let me see if you sacrifice your son.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Show me that. That was
his
son. Even when another example of sacrifice is Jesus.
Yeah.
He basically sacrificed his only son. So this is why I believe in monogamy, because I feel like if you love someone, the highest form you can show this person, the highest form of love you can show this person is, look, I want to pick you
and
sacrifice
you.
Every other person because of you.
Mm.
So that is why I believe in monogamy. But naturally, like biologically, I don't think monogamy is normal.
I think that's very interesting.
Yeah.
So you, like, it's your conclusion. So even for yourself, you find yourself in your relationships feeling the desire to look outside.
Oh, yeah. There's always that desire. But I feel like I even like the fact that the desire is there, because I'll be able, I can be able to share it with my partner that, look, oh, there can be the possibility of this, but it's you I have decided to pick and stay with. It makes you feel more important to the person. Like, it makes the person feel more important to you. Because let's say you want to, what will I say now? You have a plethora of options to choose from.
Yeah.
For maybe anything in life. And you pick one and forfeit the rest. The fact that you picked that one, despite the fact that you had other options, it makes that one a lot more important. But if that's the only one you had to pick, you don't really value. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I feel like there's no. I completely understand like where you're coming from. There's always like the other side of it, which is that there are people that don't like being seen as an option, right? Is it that them or them?
No. That, it doesn't mean that you're an option. It means that you are the option.
Fair.
Yes, like no other person
comes close.
Like I've picked you. God will tell you, you're the chosen.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean that there are not other people. Yeah, but I've chosen 100%. You. You as a person that is chosen, you feel more important about, like, you feel more important being chosen.
Because there are others.
Because there are others. Mm. Than if you were the only one.
Fair enough.
Do you get what I'm saying? So yeah, I think it's abnormal biologically. Because you always have that inkling to want to look outside.
Mm.
But sacrifice is the best form of love you can show to someone.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why I believe in monogamy.
Yeah. Okay. I think I can agree with you in the believing in monogamy part, but in saying that monogamy is abnormal, I don't think, obviously you're speaking from your perspective.
Yeah.
From my perspective, monogamy is normal. Like that is the only, not the only thing I've ever known, but the only thing I actually feel is a part of me as well. I can't imagine myself being polygamous. It's just not something that it's stressful. But minus that, like I'm a very jealous person. It's just not going to work. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like
yeah, but you're speaking from your own like perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the question is monogamy abnormal?
Okay.
Generally.
Okay. Let's come down to where we're from in Nigeria, right? Traditionally.
Yeah.
Would you say monogamy is normal?
It's abnormal. Traditionally.
Really?
Do you know why?
You think our forefathers had like...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because...
That's
monogamy
true.
Started from like our parents' parents.
Yeah. So back our in the grandparents day, they really did have
were
like...
polygamous.
They were wild.
Yeah.
That's true.
Before then, there was mad polygamy. From our own culture. I don't know about the whites.
Yeah. I'm speaking about our culture. Okay, then I guess I can agree to that monogamy is abnormal. And obviously it's become something that's normal.
Yeah, but I've
seen
polygamous girls though.
No, same.
Crazy things are happening.
I feel like there's just a lot, like the whole concept of polygamy for me is like you're not in control. You can easily lose track of like the demons that are coming into your home, right? At least in monogamy, it's like you can instantly spot a false spirit, like this is coming.
Yeah.
Like, but then when they're like multiple people, it's hard. Like you don't even know who the spirit has come from. Yeah. Do you get?
Yeah.
So
and I think like for guys, I think it's cool to be polygamous, but I always felt and I still feel that because I've had my. Very good, mileage, authenticity. I've had my polygamous streak.
That year.
That year. But I feel like it's more, I don't want to use the word noble, because noble sounds
it's
too...
It's not noble.
No. What I'm about to say is a noble thing, not what I just said.
Okay.
It's more classy. No, classy is not the word.
So say what you want to say and then
like,
we'll find a word.
Like having to stick with one as opposed to like knowing that you have the options of other ones, but sticking with one.
Yeah.
As opposed to like wanting to be with like how many.
I think it even shows like how much of a man of integrity you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Discipline as well.
Discipline.
Yeah. And I feel like as a man, I don't know about you people. I don't know what people's North Star is. But as a man, discipline is... If you can master discipline, you're unstoppable.
I think it's also a very attractive trait, even for a woman. Well, for me, let me not speak for all women. For me as well, I think it's an attractive like trait or attribute to see a man that is self-disciplined, like in all aspects of his life, whether, you know, relationship wise or business wise or personally, anything at all. I think definitely.
Yeah, but you can only be disciplined when you have the options. If
you don't have 100%. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Anyway, okay. This is even a good segue to the next unpopular opinion.
So these are two opinions that we've agreed on. Yes. So, wow. Surprising.
No, we didn't agree on this monogamy one. You think it's normal?
I said I would now agree that it's abnormal because we spoke about our ancestors and how, like, traditionally that is the abnormal thing.
Fair enough.
Yeah, or that was the abnormal thing.
Fair enough. So the next question, the next opinion, relationships cannot be 50-50.
Yeah. So for me with this one, right, why I agree with this one is because...
So you agree that it should not be
50-50. Because obviously the whole concept, as a Christian anyway, the whole concept of a relationship or marriage is that you become one flesh. Right. And to me, it's like, if you're bringing 50 and I'm bringing 50, in the time of my life where I can only bring 10, if you bring 50, it's 60. You don't bust, because, like, now we are 60% or 40% because you've insisted on only bringing half of yourself. Right. However, if you're bringing 100, on my dark days, we're still good. Like, we're still 100. So that's why, that's my personal take on why I don't necessarily believe in this 50-50 relationship thing.
How about in terms of money?
In terms of money. Yeah. You know, like, my take on this one is, okay, let me think about this for a second. In terms of money, so, like, what exactly? You and your partner splitting rent, or
splitting,
like...
Splitting everything down the middle. Like, school fees, rent, dates...
I'm going to say, like, I feel like just saying that in a relationship, you should split things 50-50 is such a lazy way of approaching relationships, right? Because perspective is key. And I feel like there's different contexts of things. So if I'm in a relationship where my partner is earning, like, times 10 of what I'm earning, saying that we should split this evenly is madness. It's actually madness, because at the end of the day, like, what I'm bringing is unfair to what he's bringing from, like, out of what he's earning. So I don't believe in the 50-50. I think it depends on your situation. Okay. And then you make a decision out of that, as opposed to saying, oh, we want to do equality, so it should be 50-50. Yeah, that's my take. Okay. How about you?
So for me, with the money side, I don't care who's earning what. It's 100-0.
I feel like this is something I knew you were going to say. This, yeah. I knew this is heavy about you.
I'm very big on this. Even if I'm earning less, first of all, I won't even go into a relationship where I cannot provide.
Yeah,
that's number one. So if I'm going into that relationship, I can provide.
Yes.
Now, as long as I can provide, I would want to be able to provide everything financially. Mm. I'm not talking about other aspects now that you started with.
Yeah.
I'm talking about money.
Yeah.
100-0. In fact, 101-1. So here's the thing, yeah. Even if I'm earning less, so, but then again, obviously there are different dynamics. I don't want to speak like some aloof guy.
Yeah.
But this is what I would naturally want to. Now, even if she's earning more, so let's say we're dating now and you're earning $2 million and I'm earning one. As long as my one can cover everything,
it's my one that will cover
everything.
Is that logical though?
I don't care if it's logical. No, like, what I'm saying, cover everything. Doesn't mean that the money will finish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get, like, okay. I should be able to cover everything and still have. Whatever you want to use your money to do.
But if you can't cover everything and still have, would you take into consideration that I have the 2M and it's like, okay, she can then cover.
Yeah, she can chip in, but, like, I would chip in more.
Maybe like 60-40.
You see that?
70-30.
Yeah. It cannot be 50-50 with me.
Yeah.
I feel like when you start doing that, you now start to be take like colleagues or friends or like just mutuals, you get.
Yeah.
It takes away from the polarity of the relationship, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
but then in terms of other things, so this is where this now comes in handy, because when it comes to food, I am like a 10.
You're zero, actually.
I'm probably minus, you get. So that's where I would expect my partner to... I would want a partner that looks after my feeding.
Yeah.
Like I always say that it's not my role in my life to feed myself, because when I think about food, I get headache.
Yeah.
I don't even like eating. Do you get? So that's it with that. But in terms of financial, I would want to carry a lot more of the weight, if not all. If I can't carry it all, then
I love how we've I love how I was able to bring you from, oh, it has to be
from 100
100% to, okay,
even that,
is it
even
carrying
that
most of it?
70
Because that's
said,
the realistic bit, though.
yeah,
Just
fair
like,
enough,
okay, I have to have most of it
fair
covered,
enough.
but she can obviously
Yeah, she can.
support.
yeah
Yeah.
yeah definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so we kind of see eye to nose on
Eye
that.
to nose,
Anyway,
Katlem.
so the next one, beauty standards are a social construct.
I feel like this is so deep, especially like in the country that we are, in the world that we are in today, where like everything's advertised to a certain, to a certain type of woman. It's like, oh, you must have the but the you know, figure eight body type, size eight. You must look a certain way, have a certain face to fit into like certain makeup. Construct. Let me just use the word construct. I think it's definitely a thing of social media, and it's influenced even people's like real life. Where you're seeing like people like in their own real life now trying to like emulate or copy the way people look on social media, in terms of the beauty standards, whether it's body wise, face wise, whatever it is. And I, for one, I believe in this unpopular opinion, and I think it's something that as a woman and just generally like as human beings, like we need to be careful of, because there's a lot of things that we feed ourselves on social media that makes us who we are, which shouldn't be the case. I know we're a product of a lot of things, but like I just think the worst thing you can be product of is social media. So that's my take on that. Like zero, no.
So you think they are, they can be a social
Yeah,
construct?
definitely.
Yeah,
I do think.
I agree with that as well. I think that the only way you can tell something is that beautiful is when you have something to compare it to.
Yeah.
So like if you were the only person, the only woman on the
In the
planet,
world,
I
you would be
wouldn't.
your own beauty standard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There will be no, oh, this, oh, you're so beautiful, because that's, it's just
Yeah.
you. But
Yeah.
then when there's now another you, now you cannot start to compare and
And
stuff like
it's
that.
not even that there's another you. It's like this,
Like there's
but
another
this is
human
where
being, that's what I
social
mean.
media comes in, right?
Yeah.
It's like there's another you that people are flocking to.
Exactly.
Do you
Exactly.
get?
There are too many options. So now we're, you know, I do believe it's a social construct. However, I feel like there's some beauty that just stands out. For example, the beauty of the sky. It just, like, you just know it's beautiful. It's not like, it's not, there's no other sky that you can compare it to,
Yeah,
but
100%.
like, you just know. There are some things that just hit you. And I feel like even in terms of human beings, and not even generally just looks, there's a way someone is, like, someone just is, you know, maybe the aura. For me, I actually, unpopular opinion for me, I see the aura before I see
The energy, yeah. The
the
person.
person.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, like, that's what
Same.
stands out to me in
Same.
the at first. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, some beauty just stands out, man. Like, you can't just place your finger on why this person is just beautiful and
Yeah.
not really, like, physically,
Physically.
just there's just a
And
radiance.
I think like just going back to what you said about like seeing the energy, the aura before seeing like the person. I even don't think you can even like differentiate the both of them.
yeah
Some people enter a room
yeah
and it's like their energies, or you see them and
yeah
you see energy.
Yeah,
Do you get what I mean? Like they are the end, like they are the aura. And it's just
exactly.
like, bruh. And it's like you have that's why you have people like, you know, saying things like, oh, what do you see in this person? It's just like it's that mask of just the aura and energy that they carry that just, you know, makes you attracted to who they are. So yeah.
You think you have it?
So I'm currently trying to like fight this timidity thing that I have. So I feel like I have this like, I wouldn't say it's being shy, but it's like I feel timid
Yeah.
sometimes, and it's actually God convicting me of it, because there's a lot that he wants me to do that I have to break out of this to be able to do, right? He's calling me to like, you know, be able to speak publicly and like put myself out there. And every time he tells me to do something, I'm like, you know, I'm not ready for that because of this timid thing that I have. So, will I say I have the energy? I might have some form of aura. I might give off some form of like approachable, like this is a safe space, sort of aura, right? But like the aura that I actually know that I can possess, or that I do possess, but I haven't fully like come into that is being blocked by my timidity. 100%.
Are you working on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. I was going to ask you the same question, but we already know. We already know.
You need to ask me. Everybody knows.
We already know.
Anyway, so the next unpopular opinion: technology has done more bad than good.
What do you think?
I think it has actually done more good than bad.
Mm.
Yeah. The reason why people think humans are just, we are just fucked. So anyway, anything that comes out,
extreme, we take it to the extreme.
We will still jig it. Yeah. Like regardless of what it is, we would. But what technology has done, especially for me, that apart from work, like when it comes to like house chores, I'm lazy as fuck. So if I have a dishwasher, I have a washing machine, bruv, you get. But I'm sure like in technology, the technology you're talking about here is probably like social media. Social like media has done so much connection. It has connected a lot of people
across the world,
from across the world. But obviously it has its downsides, because for example, in a relationship, social media makes you feel like there are too many options. Back in our parents' days, you just see one girl from the village, you know that, before you see another fine girl, you go tell.
Exactly.
So let me go and copy this one. Exactly. But on social media, you're seeing a plethora of people on your explore page. You're just like, what the hell is all this? And even apart from that, it just kind of gives you the notion that, there's always somebody out there. So let me not fight for this thing that I have.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are downsides. But I feel like the downsides is just human problems.
Yeah.
It's problems that we humans just have, not the technology itself.
Yeah.
But then I heard that AI is coming to porn. So basically, there's one of the technology that I saw and I heard about that basically you can take a video and infuse someone's face, like a face of someone that, let's say I fantasize about somebody. I can pick a video from porn
and add that
person's face to the girl's face.
Really?
And it's as if I'm watching that person.
That's crazy.
What they call it? Deep fake. That's what they call it.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Jordan Peterson was speaking about it, and I was just like, bro, it's like, what they're about to do?
Saying that's demonic. Like, why?
No, it's demonic,
like,
for
like,
sure.
Like, why is it even needed? Like, where's the need for that?
You don't
Where does the desire, God. Human beings.
Anyway.
Yeah. For me, I would say, I agree that it's done more good than bad, simply because obviously I believe as human beings we're created to not operate in isolation, right? We're created to form communities, and we're created to build people. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone, and I genuinely believe that. I don't think people always interpret that verse by thinking it was referring to relationships. I don't think so. I just think generally, like in life, like human beings are not created to be alone. And I think what
I've seen that firsthand.
And I think what social media or even technology has done is that it's bridged that gap to give us the opportunity to form like the biggest and massive, like most massive, if that's even a word, community that we can think of. Because we're not now limited to only the place that we're born in. Is that you can be in Nigeria and form a relationship. I remember coming across this TikTok video of this girl saying she was meeting her best friend for the first time. And the best friend, I think they had been best friends for like 5 years. And she's come from Korea, somewhere in Korea. Like, she's Asian. And this girl is in Nigeria. And it's like, they're never seen for
That's
5 years.
Crazy.
So they're meeting for the first time. The Asian girl had come to Nigeria for like a holiday or something. And how did they meet? Social media.
Crazy.
So it's like, it's giving us the avenue to create like those connections, you know, outside of our standard community. So where we're born, or where we're, because not everyone has the, you know, the privilege or, you know, the opportunity to travel to these places. So this sort of gives you the opportunity where you get to learn cultures, learn about people, meet people and make connections, whether for personal gain or business. Do you get? So I definitely believe that and agree that it's done more good than bad.
We agree on that.
Yeah. I feel like we're agreeing on too many things. I don't like it.
Let me take it far.
I don't like it.
So the next one is, cheating doesn't mean your partner doesn't love you and should not be a deal breaker. Yes, we will not disagree on this one.
So I'm laughing because I can't even have the conversation about this. So like, how many hours are we talking?
Yeah, we spoke for a while.
We spoke about this for a very long time. And we just came to the conclusion that we're just going to agree to disagree on obviously our different takes on it. But so cheating, it says cheating doesn't mean that your partner doesn't love you.
Cheating doesn't mean your partner doesn't love you and should not be a deal breaker.
I think 100% it should be a deal. Okay, I can't tell anybody what to do or what not to do. It's 100% a deal breaker for me because I believe that to cheat on me is to not really love me. That's number one.
So you think...
It's to disrespect me on the highest level that you possibly can. And the reason why it's a deal breaker is because the moment that you've done that, you've lost my trust. And you've lost, not my love, but you've just lost, like, the way I see is tainted from that point on, because it's like I cannot separate, you know how earlier we were speaking about separating the sin from the person. This is one sin that I cannot separate you from. Like every time I see you, I imagine what you've done. Do you understand? It's just we can't go forward.
Which is not a good thing to be imagining.
It's not. So we can't go forward from there. It's the end. You know.
So you would believe that because that has happened, they don't love you.
So I can possibly believe that they think they do. I can believe that you genuinely think that you love me, but it's like, do you really?
So if you cheat on someone, it means you don't love them.
Yeah. If I cheat on you, I don't love you. That's honestly, because, and this is because, again, you know how earlier we were saying we should never say, oh, this could never be me sort of thing. And I don't want to come off like being that.
Yeah. Please, know. Freestyle.
But is that everyone has like their morals, or like I've met people that they don't really see the big deal in cheating, do you get, or you know, looking outside to the point that they're like, oh, it's just a part of, you know, I don't believe that it's just a part of human whatever. You should be able to discipline yourself, right? You should be able to commit to someone and be like, this is the person that I have committed to and I am committing to. So I genuinely knew from my experience and because of who I am and the person I know myself to be, if I ever found myself in a situation where I cheated on someone that I claimed to love, just doing that act would
make you know that
reveal
you don't,
to me,
yeah, fair enough,
that I actually don't love this person the way I think I do.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I know you have it different. Let's hear it.
So, they said, never listen to the story of a battle from a wounded soldier.
Mm.
They also said, never listen to the story of a battle from a soldier who wasn't there.
Mm.
So, I would be speaking about this from first experience.
Yeah.
Good. Now, cheating doesn't mean your partner doesn't love you. I don't agree with that.
Mm.
I think you can love your partner and cheat on them.
Okay. That's where we disagree.
Yeah, we disagree like mad. And why do I say this? Whenever I think about this, I always think about there are so many factors that come into cheating. Like, cheating is it should be a study on its own. Like, it's a very multifaceted thing. Like, it's never, obviously, most times people just look at the cheat and they're like, ah, this such a terrible person. But there are times where people are pushed to cheat. I saw someone say something.
How are you be pushed?
Wait. Okay. Now, I know your blood is hot. This is why I put that disclaimer at the beginning, okay, that okay. I'm not trying to advocate for it because I've been on the receiving end.
Okay, cool.
So I can't, like, I'm definitely not justifying it.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, like, the logical way I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
I heard someone say that if a guy cheats, it's because he wants to stay in the relationship.
I'm sorry?
Wait. If a woman cheats, it's because she wants to leave. That's if you think about it, it's messed up, yeah? But it makes some form of sense. But anyway, I'm just giving you what he said. I'm coming back to my own okay, this thing now, yeah. So whenever I think about this, the first thing I think about is we say we love God. But we always sin.
Yeah.
Like, sinning is something that never ends.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how good you are with God, no matter how much you say you love God, you still sin. Does that mean you don't love God? And that's actually a genuine question.
Mm.
Now, we say we love our parents, right? But a lot of the time, or maybe our siblings, a lot of times we do things that we know they won't like. I've stolen from my parents before. Does it mean I don't love them? No. I've annoyed my sister before. Does it mean I don't love her? No. That being said, cheating is a deal breaker for me. No, because yeah, that one is quite straightforward.
Yeah,
I have, and I've also experienced not breaking the deal, and it didn't work. So, but I knew before that it was a deal breaker. I was like, let me just try it out. No, nonsense try. Very nonsense decision. God. But yeah, it's definitely a deal breaker because the trust is gone for me, especially for the person I have built myself to be, and all the work I've done on myself in terms of integrity and all of that. If you do that, you've broken the trust. Yeah. And trust is, for me, is the, after sacrifice, trust is the fundamental thing for me in love. Like, I don't want to be, I have goals, I have my mission, my purpose. Yeah. I don't want to be on my mission and be thinking, what's my girl doing? that just takes away my energy. It drains me.
Yeah,
100%. So I need to be able to 100% trust you. So when I'm in the battlefield, I know that I'm going back to like someone who I know is waiting for me, not somebody who I think, if I'm on the battlefield now and I think that my wife is cheating, oh, they go shoot me there, man.
That's 100%.
Yeah. So in terms of that energy, yes, like for me, as you're on your way there, I've broken the deal. But do I think that cheating means person doesn't love you? No, I think that someone can cheat on you and still love you. But go ahead.
To that, I'm just going to say, you know how I said if I ever found myself in a place where I did cheat on someone that I cared about, it would reveal to me that I don't love the person as much as I think I do. Not that I don't love the person at all.
Yeah, okay, as much.
Yeah. Is that you don't actually love the person as much as you think you do. So you can care about someone. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. But not to the degree that you respect them enough not to hurt them in that way by cheating on them, or, you know, choosing someone above them. Because that's what I think cheating is.
Yeah.
Is that you're choosing someone above me, even though it's temporarily.
It in that moment, yes, that's exactly what it is.
So just going back to what you said, because you asked a question on, we sin against God, but we say we love God.
Yeah.
The truth is that we actually do not love God to the degree that we think we do. We say, oh God, I love you.
Fair enough.
From, like, really, really, if you deep it, do you really love God? You marvel in his being and in his creation and everything that he's done. And you have a certain degree of love towards him, which cannot be compared to the love he has for us.
That's why I use your parents.
You can't.
In case God is too far from you to conceptualize. That's why I use your parents.
Mm.
But yeah, me, I'm even too possessive to take back. It has to be a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, no, 100%.
I'm such a possessive guy that, like, it feels like my territory has been conquered.
Yeah.
What am I doing in that territory again?
Oshé warrior.
Like, do you get, you have conquered my territory. Oh yeah, now let me go look for new land.
Yeah.
I cannot stay there and reclaim.
Yeah, rebuild.
Nah.
It's long.
And I only
like, obviously looking into the future, you start dating someone today.
Yeah.
10 years from now, you guys, you have multiple plans that you've put in place that have actually actualized. You have kids.
And then she cheats.
And then she's
going.
10 years from now.
She's going. See, as it stands now.
You have
now,
like an empire. No. You have built an, see, like.
If we like, let us be living in heaven. No, I'm dead serious. I'm saying it now, Miley, so that anytime, in case somewhere in the future, someone accidentally cheats on me, like, you have the mind,
you know, it's
to
over.
Do it.
Yeah,
we come back to this mileage and you hear that I said it.
Yeah,
it's done. Like, and for me, cheating itself, you don't even have to go and, you don't have to have sex with the person.
Yeah, 100%. It's not if about
you,
sex. Like,
once
it's
you've made yourself that. Available,
yeah, yeah,
you're done.
It's the just access. Go. That's
yeah, that because me, yeah, and the reason why this thing is so deep for me is that, first of all, cheating on me is the worst. I believe in myself so much. Like, I have a lot of confidence in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Cheating on me is the only way it can make me think twice about myself.
Mm.
Like, it's the only way. No matter, even if there are 15,000 people that stand here in front of me and tell me, guy, you're not the shit.
Mm.
Doesn't move me. But if you cheat on me, that's, you know how when Samson, when Delilah was asking Samson, yeah, what's your weakness? That's it. Like, if you do that, that's the only thing that can make me think twice.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not going to be something that I can. Yeah, no, it's like, it's a deal shatterer for me, man.
I was just thinking about it in, like, obviously in the 10 years, like, you know.
I think I'm too vulnerable on mileage. I should cut back.
No, but that's the whole point.
No.
You said at the beginning of the episode.
It's too much.
Nah, it's good. I think me.
We said 30 minutes. So look at the time.
Omo, don't worry. We're almost there. Yeah. We're almost done.
After this, we'll just do one more question.
Yeah, sure. I was going to say, like, I feel like for myself, obviously we're looking into the future, like 10 years from now, with the empire and the kids.
You consider it.
For the kids, it would be my ultimate act. Like, it would be my ultimate expression of love, like, for my children, not for you, because I would be sacrificing.
No, we'll split, but we'll still do co-parenting.
Yeah, but you know that has an effect on kids.
That's the kids' problem. No, I'm dead serious. That's the kids' problem. No. It's done. No. It's done. I'm too territorial.
No love for the children. No, I feel like you say this now because you don't have kids.
Yes,
true. I feel like I was listening to a podcast, I think, was it Elon Musk or JP, and they were speaking about how having children changes, like,
you're right,
it changes whoever the trajectory said it to is right of
JP is right, Elon Musk is right.
Yeah, so I think you're only saying this now because you don't have kids. The moment you have kids, like, your
Gaia,
I feel like it might change.
Fuck them kids. Fuck them kids.
Yeah, I feel like you're the same.
Yeah, no, nah, just no. Nah, I'll give them. They'll be good. I'll financially settle them, but
yeah, but it's not about money. Fuck it's, them kids. It's the mental stability. Like, it's just like the stability that comes with having, like, a united home.
Fuck them kids.
Cool. Okay, let's move on.
Let me say fuck them kids before God. And I'll say, this one does not like children. But yeah, deal breaker for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So the last question. There are actually a lot more questions here, but because of time,
guys.
Reality is a product of our thoughts.
Ooh.
I'll go first here.
Yeah, go on.
Reality is 150%
yeah,
a product of our thoughts.
Go into that for us.
200%.
Mm.
What people think reality is just other people's experiences that they've cast onto you to make you feel like it's the norm.
Mm.
The person who first conceptualized flying an aircraft, I'm sure when he took it to his friends, they're like, who has done this before?
Like, who do you think you are?
Who are you?
Yeah.
Because why? In that reality, it did not exist.
Yeah.
But whoever thought about it,
mm,
had his own reality. And this is why it's always, the reality starts from your mind.
Yeah.
This topic is so deep for me because I know a lot about this.
Yeah.
Reality starts from your mind. You know, like, there's one guy I was listening to, his name is Jim Rohn.
Mm.
You know how people say seeing is believing?
Mm.
So you have to see something first to believe it.
Yeah.
Jim Rohn says where it actually works and where faith works is believing is seeing.
Yeah, that is faith. That's
exactly the concept of faith. So you have to believe it first before faith you see it. For example, everything, if you look around you now, every literal thing you see was conceived in the mind first before it was created.
Mm-hmm.
This laptop, the first laptop that was created,
came from the mind. Was a thought.
You know, everything was really a thought. And I feel like a lot of the times, this is why I also don't give advice.
Mm.
Because if so, except I'm explicitly asked, like, please advise me.
Yeah.
But I don't give advice because I'm always very, not scared, but I'm always very cautious of imposing my own reality on somebody else.
Yeah.
Which can now stifle that person's own growth because 100%. I've impose my own, except my reality is larger than what you're thinking.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, this is what you can achieve with these thoughts.
Which don't you think is always the case though?
Sorry?
That your reality is larger than the person that you're trying to advise.
Yeah, I mean, but still, sometimes people don't even want to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get. So yeah, I definitely think reality is a product of our thoughts. And when people say be realistic, that is the worst like, advice be real. Somebody can give you. Be real. That's the worst thing somebody can tell you.
It's like
because what's
you're
real?
as real as what you think.
Exactly. Your
Yeah.
reality is your thoughts.
Yeah.
Do you guess? Well, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I don't have that much to add to this because I 100% agree with everything you said. The only thing I have to add is because like we both be reading like Meditations by Marcus
Oh my
Aurelius.
God.
And you know, there's that one thing you talked about, like how you perceive things that happen to you is based on how you think about it. Is that
Yeah,
how so
yeah,
basically it's on offense you, like the extent to which you feel offended is because of how you perceive it in your
And
mind.
this is the best part of that thing he said.
Yeah.
And you have the power to revoke it. That's the thing
Yes.
that busts my head.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like there was, I think in the third book or the fourth, he talked about how even when you start your day, you should start your day expecting to be met with these things, betrayal, you know, offense and all of these things. And you have to operate from a place that's higher than it. So then you see yourself, if you ever come down to a place where you have to deal with like confront offense, you should see it as you degrading yourself to that. And I was just like, bro, who's this man? Like,
Marcus
who's this man?
Aurelius.
But yeah, so 100% I agree that reality is, what is it again?
Is a product
Is
of
it a
our
product of our
thoughts.
thoughts? Yeah.
Okay. How did this go for you? Did you enjoy
This
this?
was great. Yeah, I wish we had time to go through the entire thing, but obviously
Yeah.
it's cool, guys. Katham has made like an excellent stack of cards that triggers like really, really amazing conversations. I can't wait for it to be out there and like for the whole world to, you know, get to experience what I feel like this is like an amazing avenue. I told you the one that I like the most. I feel like that particular card would be so good for like friendships, like relationships, like not just like getting to know each other, but like even discovering things, you know, about even your own self that you just even didn't know. Because obviously that card focuses on the other person. So I'm asking you to tell me about me. Do you understand? So it's like someone holding up a mirror and telling you, oh, look
Yes,
at yourself.
yeah.
So that's absolutely big ups to you. I'm so proud.
Big ups to
Yeah,
everyone involved. Yeah,
it
anyway, this was a pleasure. It was a very enjoyable episode, Mao. And we are preparing to land.
was.
Do you want to land?
Do I want to land? How am I feeling? Do I have it
Don't
in
worry,
me right now?
I'm a land. I'm a land.
Yeah, you go
So
ahead.
thank you, passenger, for coming on board Mileage Airways 7, Boeing 747, 767. This has been Mile 33. Thank you for listening. I know we said 30 minutes, but you know, when we got to the airport, there was a lot of traffic, so we had to hover and hover and hover and hover. And then we even considered going back to where we were, but no. Let's land these guys. So thank you again for listening. Please do well to subscribe, to share with your pets and dogs and your family members, and rate the pod 5 star. Anything less than 5 star, just let this be the last mile you listen to. But without, is it
Further
further ado
ado,
or much
yeah.
ado? Okay, without further ado, do you have any parting words?
Parting words. Yeah, honestly, if you find yourself wanting to check your partner's phone, leave that relationship. I just need to just say this to the
Oh
people. If you're tempted to check your partner's phone because you think something's happening,
God. Yeah,
something is
just
happening.
leave,
Yeah.
man. Just
So just
leave.
pack your bag and go. Love
Yeah,
you.
because you'll find something for sure.
Yeah,
Yeah.
100%.
Anyway, peace to the Middle East, peace to the world. Cabin crew, prepare for landing.